Eternal God and Father in heaven, in the precious name, name above all names, name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior and Redeemer, we are approaching the throne of grace. To thank thee for thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies, to thank thee for thy fatherly care and showers of blessings that we receive in this day so far. We thank thee for thy precious and holy word that we received in the morning hour, and we stand once again before thee, O Lord, awaiting for a new blessing, that thou may bless us anew. Loving God and Father in heaven, we pray thee, remove all obstacles, that they may prevent thy holy word to flow, that thy blessed and holy name may be proclaimed, and that souls may be refreshed, instructed, and inspired by thee and thy holy word. Let the words of our mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable unto thee. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray unto thee and we praise thee. Amen. Beloved, for this afternoon hour, for the holy instruction in the Lord, and for the encouragement and for the comfort of our souls, let us turn to God's holy word contained in Gospel according to John chapter 15. And from the Gospel according to John chapter 15, I would like us to read a few verses to the honor and glory of God. Gospel according to John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I read up to and including verse 12. Beloved in Christ, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his precious name we are gathered here more than two or three, and with his holy promise that whenever we gather in his name, he is in the midst of us. So we do not have a need to invite the Lord. He is already here. So we need that thankful heart, heart full of gratitude that we are in his presence. And we have his holy word before us, teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, precious words. And I'm reminded of King David when he said, I hid thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And he said, thy word is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And my thoughts are going in this direction. Perhaps this will be the time for us to examine ourselves, even at this time, in this few minutes, few moments, or in the time to come, next through the next week, to examine ourselves to see, can we say with King David, do we agree with King David, that God's holy word is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb? Do we cherish his holy word? Is that instruction unto our hearts? Can I say, can anyone of us say, I hid thy holy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee? What is our concern in our life? How do we understand how we serve the Lord? We came here quite late to the Bible class, but some questions that were brought up, they were such a healthy questions. All of us have to consider that. What kind of testimony we are to the world? What do they see in us? Do they see Jesus Christ? I can share this with you. It's not from the scripture. It's one experience that I had 50 years ago. This month or in June. I was in Treiskirchen in refugee camp, at refugee camp. And I had visitation. A brother from Yugoslavia came to visit us. My friend and I were there. And at that time, when we saw him coming, we thought that Jesus Christ visited us. That's how greatly refreshed and strengthened we were when we saw someone who is of the like mind, who cared for us, who traveled that great distance to see us. Are we, starting from me, anyone, do people see Jesus Christ in us? Do we have that kind of testimony to the world? It's so important, beloved. We can know all the prophecies. We can go and quote from backward and frontward and all that. But what kind of testimony we leave to this world and to those who are around us? Often we see and we hear that when someone passes away, people talk who they were. But do they see that in us now? Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples. And he in this chapter what we read, it's a great lesson of life and death to everyone, whoever wants to hear God's holy word. Jesus Christ said in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. All this teaching and all this explaining in the beginning of this chapter, true vine, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Ye are the branches. And then he went on, what is expected from a branch? What kind of branch we have to be? And beloved, whoever, any one of us would like to be obedient branch, there comes pruning. There comes the vine dresser, a husbandman with a clipper, and clips all that is unnecessary. All that will jeopardize fruit to develop. And that fruit is not to the honor and glory of the branch. That fruit is to the honor and glory of God. That is so important. But again, Jesus Christ wrote all this, spoke all this, that his joy may be in us, that our joy may be full. Did you ever think of that when we read John 15? If we go to Epistle of John, First Epistle of John, and hear the words what the apostle writes there, it has a similar connotation. It says like this: and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Again, speaking of a joy. When we think of Christians, what do we think of? How do we have in our mind? How do they look? I can say in my life I've seen many different ones. I have seen Christians perky and joyous and happy, and whatever they would say, it's a gratitude, it's a thanksgiving, it's thankfulness in praising God. And I've seen quite a few Christians with a long face and with a deep sigh. What kind of message do we give? But Jesus Christ said about our joy that he spoke these things for our joy. Here, Apostle says, in these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. And then he goes on, and why that joy to be full? That we may have fellowship. These days, and please, this is from the bottom of my heart, not to hurt anyone. Somebody may be hurt. We often hear relationship with God. What kind of relationship? Perhaps whenever we say relationship, we have to go extra to explain that relationship. Is that a fellowship with God? Is that union with God? Union with Jesus Christ? Is that, as we read here, when Jesus Christ pleaded with the apostles, abide in me? Beloved, these are very deep words. I do not have enough words. I'm not capable to explain them, but read them and pray to the Lord. Lord will reveal unto you depth of meaning. Abide in me and I in you. To have fellowship with him. And then here in 1 John we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. Do we have that confidence in our hearts to proclaim that? I shared with someone this afternoon, for we know, not maybe, but we know when earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have house not made with hands of God in heaven. That is firm proclamation of our faith. Can we testify that to the world? Can we testify of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he comforts us? I'm reminded again of the portion when Jesus Christ looked toward heaven, praised God, thanked him that he hid these things from wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes, and then he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find the rest for your soul. Beloved, whoever finds the rest for their soul, they don't need anything else. Nothing more is precious than rest for our soul. Peace that passeth human understanding. And Jesus Christ here in this chapter, what we read, he's begging us today, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Beloved, when we once came to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we once heard his voice, when we once heard that calling, come unto me, we should stand on the, below his banner. We should proclaim his name. We should rejoice before him. It was left for us, it was spoken all this for us, that our joy, that the joy of Jesus Christ may be in us. And then the apostle says, that your joy may be full. Not partial, not a little bit of joy, but full joy. We read in Thessalonians, And again, Apostle gives the instruction. This will help us when we talk of joy. What is that expect? How that joy will be demonstrated? And he says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can examine ourselves, as we were advised in the morning sermon, to look into our hearts, to examine where do we stand. And this portion of Scripture came to me when that man, after God's own heart, went to the Lord and said, search me, Lord, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beloved, how many of us can say that? When we see that, we hear that wicked word, we may think, oh, this is condemning. No, this is honest, sincere heart coming before the Lord and begging the Lord to know him, to know his thoughts, to know his mind, and then to lead him in the way everlasting. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is our instruction, and this is our comfort. And we read in God's holy word that our God is God of mercy and all comfort. And he comforts us that we may comfort one another. May these words, these few words that we spoke and that we read from God's holy word, be comfort to our souls. May they cause us to think and to consider if it's time to go before the Lord and pray the prayer of King David as he prayed in the conclusion of Psalm 139. Search me, O Lord. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus does now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary tree. I love thee for wearing the crowns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory, in endless delight, I'll ever adore thee, in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.